Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. Bad motherfucker.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Philip, how we doing? How
good,
we doing?
How are
you? You know, Mike P always gets that message across, doesn't he? Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, you want to talk about something? I want to jump in.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
A while back, and this doesn't happen often to Philip and I, we're approached by these people. They want to put this run on. Bikers Against Trafficking. All right, I talked to them, I thought about it, and I go, well, Bikers Against Trafficking. I don't really give a shit. We got the FBI, CIA, who knows? There's all kind of people against trafficking, I figure. And this minister, and I say this minister putting the run on, said to me, no, Bill. This is a nonprofit organization, works around the world to free victims of sexual slavery and exploitation. I'm thinking, what year is this thing? Well, you know what it is? It's that Pastor Z, that little red-headed guy, that fireball guy.
Right. The one who forgets to send emails.
Yeah. This program here provides books, education, medical supplies, as well as ongoing expertise for safe houses and vocational programs for these young people who are 27 million people are enslaved worldwide. Do you know any?
No.
I don't know any like that. Anyway, it says it's happening everywhere, except for where you and I
are. We don't even know about the ones that are being detained, and nobody knows where they're at.
Anyway, this was a nice bike ride. It helped to raise awareness, spreading information, influence local legislation. Program was called For the One. Numerical digit four, the word the, numerical digit one. And the founders were Kimberly Clifton and Sandra Certuti. I probably said that one wrong. Sorry, Sandra. Anyway, they're going to approach the second year they're doing it. It's
Hold
good.
On, Bill. We have to interrupt you. Somebody said we're getting a busy signal there, so let me try some. Go ahead.
All
I
right.
just want to check it out.
I thought maybe some of the sex slaves were calling in.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Not today.
Well, it's called the Bikers Against Trafficking, or BAT. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Philip and I have been here for quite a few years now. I didn't know about this slavery stuff. 27 million people enslaved worldwide. Yeah, I guess I can believe somewhere in the Middle East or somewhere, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah.
It's another thing that is going on right in front of us. Now, I have checked. There is a lot of Mexican girls coming up and are being sold into prostitution here in San Diego. I wasn't aware of that because I don't see them for sale either. But they say that this is quite a common problem, not just Mexico, coming through Mexico and being sold here in America for slavery. It's pretty sick, pretty bizarre. I couldn't imagine my sister or your sister being sold into slavery. I think it's absolutely crazy. Anyway, so my little friend, Pastor Z, our little firecracker friend, he's got something going on, and good luck to those guys now. I hope we hear some more about that. I had not heard about that at all. That's kind of strange.
No, I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, there's something else I want to talk to you about in a minute or two. People ask me about coming to Orange County, Bill, and I want to go for a motorcycle ride. Now, we have a restaurant called Cook's Corner. It's in Orange County. It's on El Toro Road off of Interstate 5.
Right.
I'm going to read a little blurb about this here because, boys and girls, if you're in the neighborhood, you should go check this out. I don't own a piece of Cook's Corner. They don't give me a lousy discount. I just want to read it to you. The place has been around since 1926. If you're a biker, you've got to stop in and check it out. Over the years, it's been a mecca of sorts. Like Sturgis, a baby Sturgis. A rite of passage.
Darling, I can't get enough of your love, baby.
Hello.
Hey.
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 Don't know why you're getting a busy signal, but you're in there now.
Oh, am I? Well, I'll write it in. Good evening. I called like several times and it's just busy, busy, busy. I'm like, what is going on? I can't hear anything in the chat room neither.
Okay. So well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close that. So if you get hung up on, don't worry. I'll call you back.
Okay, cool.
All right, back to me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I was talking about Cook's Corner. For people coming to L.A., San Diego, Orange County, it's a, I can't say it's a bar restaurant. It's more like a tavern to me, I guess, like that. It's up in Orange County. I'm going to invite everybody to stop in and check it out. Time to time, I'll give you some of the places I like to go. Again, I don't get a discount. I don't get a free drink or nothing. These are places I like to go. On weekends and throughout the week, they have live music. Serviceable dance floor where pool table sits. No, I'll be honest with you, I never saw anybody shoot pool there. Or on a fair weather weekend, you witness a parade of bikes in and out of the huge wraparound parking lot. A sea of chrome and steel like you seldom seen in one place. Also, a lot of yuppies up there, but that's okay, too. Now, when I'm up there, I find myself sometimes in a large group of European bikers. European Japanese bikers on tour always seem to stop in here. I want to tell you again, the place is called Cook's Corner, C-O-O-K-S. It's located, it's an old roadhouse in South Orange County. Philip and I stop by intermittently. We encourage anybody visiting, stop by. If you're traveling by, don't miss that, because someday we're going to lose that roadhouse, and we don't have too many left. If you've been noticing how many have been shutting down, what's happening is they're being sold out, being redeveloped for shopping centers or something like that. So there aren't too many
gas stations, Bill.
Someday. Anyway, I've got some stuff going on this weekend. I'm going to do this. We have a friend going to call a little bit. There's a funeral service for a guy that was killed, a biker, of course. Christmas Day, he was riding home. He was killed by a drunk driver. So we're going to have a little get-together for his club this weekend. Hopefully a guy named Nuke from the Rough Riders is going to call in. If not, I'm going to be awful embarrassed saying all this stuff here, but I'm sure Nuke will make it in there. So how did you do at work this week?
Pretty good.
All right, good. That's pretty lucky. I had some guys from Australia stop by Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. My brother Mike Kennedy and I own there. They bought five soft tails off me, so God bless them. And I think they paid for more already. They asked me, do I mind storing the bikes? No, you pay for the bikes, folks. I don't mind storing things at all. I want everybody to understand that Philip and I are extremely pleased because we are now in the first week of the first day, of Santa Ana Wish, winds coming in 70 degrees. 70 degrees today, weather in San Diego sunny and 70 degrees for the next week.
Yeah, we're in the 30s overnight.
Yeah, well, what the hell? I got chaps. I got all that stuff. I pull off the side of the road. I have a saddlebag. I have a full-face helmet. You deal with it. But just the idea of getting back into warm weather makes me feel so much better. Always stop and get those good leather vests from what company? Espinosa Leathers. That's right. Another good friend of ours we want to talk about. Philip and I were at the Easy Rider Bike Show in Anaheim a couple weeks ago. I strongly encourage you, if you've not made an Easy Rider Bike Show, it's something of a visual treat. A treat for the eyes. First of all, a lot of good-looking women walking around, a lot of fine-looking motorcycles. They're mostly concept motorcycles, and I have a little problem with that because Philip and I ride our bikes till the wheels fall off, so a little different style bikes. But if you haven't made an Easy Rider Bike Show, I encourage you to make it. It's got some celebrities. Last year, 2 weeks ago, we had Jax of the Sons of Anarchy.
Right. Stacey, are you still on the phone?
Yes, sir. I'm sitting back, holding the rope.
Do me a favor and hang up and call back.
Oh, man, you're so much work, but okay. Bye.
All right. So I said the Easy Rider Bike Show and all that. Philip and I enjoy the bike shows. A lot of people say, it's just commercial. Of course it's commercial. Easy Rides, a big company, has been around a long time. Does it really truly represent the local biker? Probably not. But again, the motorcycle magazine is coming up with concept bikes, so we're kind of okay with the program. And we like the crew of the Easy Riders, so they're okay with us. And we said Jax of the Sons of Anarchy, he was up the show. As soon as he stepped in the show, Philip, what was the reaction of all the women? You know, that's why it keeps me humble. I have never, ever had any women screaming at Philip and I the way they scream at Jax. It's amazing he can just maintain that. So, I had a good friend of mine, Rusty Coons, from Illusion Motorcycles, down to visit me. He's trying to put a new line of bikes out. I'm going to leave that on the back burner because I don't think he's quite ready to talk about that shit, so that's kind of good. If you don't know Rusty Coons of Illusion Motorcycle, among his many kudos, he's with the group rock group Attica, and he's also the big guy on the Sons of Anarchy. He's the Nomad chapter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the president of Nomad chapter.
Well, Bill.
What?
Madeline just told me that.
Yes, Madeline?
That, thanks. As you are aware, we are experiencing a site-wide outage affecting both guest and host dial-in numbers and streaming. We thank you for your patience while we work on getting these lines fixed, and we'll be back shortly to update our progress.
Well, Madeline, you know, just keep on working, Madeline. And we appreciate that little blurb. You want to play a song or something and take a break or something? Or what do you want to do?
Well, we're going to call Stacy back.
Okay. Are we still on the air? I mean,
are
we? Okay. I thought you meant that we were okay. All right.
There she is. Thank
you. 508. Are you out there, 508?
Not yet.
Be a lot better when we have our own TV show. We have four cameras. You don't have to do all the work here. You can actually just be more of a participant in the conversations. Which, again, I'd like to repeat why you hear mostly from Bill Kennedy. It's because Philip has to do all these buttons and gadgets and gizmos and stuff that if he let me near the computer, I'd break it. Because you and I know the computer was invented by the devil to take over your soul. Every time you play with the computer, it takes another piece of your soul.
Well, for those that can hear us,
according
to this thing, they can't hear us there, and she hasn't gotten back to me yet. So I did what we'll do, Bill. We'll just go back and this was sent to us the other day, and Rusty said, yeah, go ahead and publish it. So,
well, let's give a little blurb about who Rusty Coons is before we start. All right, then. Rusty Coons, a friend of ours, is a member of a band called Attica. He's the lead guitar player, and he writes most of the songs.
Attica 7.
Though. Attica 7. Okay, then. Sorry, I just said Attica. He also has a motorcycle shop called Illusion Motorcycles in Westminster. Very, very good motorcycle shop. And he is also on the TV. Again, he is on the Sons of Anarchy. He is the big guy from the Nomad chapter. So he's got like three irons in the fire, all of them doing exceptionally well. I encourage everybody to stop in and visit him at a shop in Orange County. And there's an interview about him. So this is going to give you a little insight as to what this man we call a friend, what's he's like and all that. So, Philippe, you got a button you can hit here?
Yeah.
Just a minute there.
Experiencing a little technical difficulty.
Let's take this clothes off.
We'll be
rolling with folks.
Here we go.
Take people back to where Attica 7 started. You know, realizing for the first time that. But what I'd like to do is I'd like you to take people back to where Attica 7 started. You know, realizing for the first time that you may never see daylight again. And what your emotions were like when you were putting these songs down on paper and how you got inspiration.
Okay. Yeah, visualize yourself in a cell, 6x8, 8x12, whatever it is. You've just been ripped out of society with a possibility of never having a chance to ever see your family again outside of a cell somewhere or a visiting area in a prison while you're either shackled behind glass or under guard. And you're not expecting any of this to happen. It just happens. And all of a sudden, everything you've held dear, everything that you love is out of your reach. You know, it changes the way you think about things. It changes the way you think about what you do. Instead of just going out randomly and doing what you feel like doing, it makes you think before you do those things with those large consequences. And when you're in a motorcycle club, you're going to pay twice the consequence, maybe three times, maybe four times of what the average person is going to pay for any action that you may take, or even a reaction to being attacked yourself. You become not the victim, but the perpetrator, defending yourself because you're in a motorcycle club. So you have to think about all these things every day. It's like walking on the edge of a razor blade. And when you're doing your time, it's like walking on the edge of a razor blade the whole time you're in, because you don't want to lose your good time, but you can't be weak. So you have to do whatever you got to do to survive honorably while you're on the inside. Then when I got sentenced after being in over 21 months in MDCLA, they shipped me around a little bit, put me in the hole in a few other places waiting for my paperwork to come through, and then I got sent up to Oregon to a prison up there, and while I was up there, I was working out in the yard at least 5 days a week, and I rediscovered music totally by accident. I wasn't even into music. I knew how to play guitar. I played since I was 9. I took lessons from the time I was 9 to the time I was 15. Learned how to read, write music, finger picking, classical, the whole deal. But then I got out of it, got into motorcycles, and just picked up the guitar every once in a while, sometimes not for years. But it was in my head. The structure of music, the feeling, it was all there. So I don't know what happened, but after being up there for a few years, I was walking past this room where they did a lot of band rehearsals and the band program for inmates, and I just got inspired to start playing. And I joined a blues band, actually a blues rock band, and I said, you know, I'll come in, I'll play bass, guitar, I don't care. So they said, all right, come in and play bass. Well, I came in, the bass player hadn't gotten home yet that I was replacing, so I played guitar, and they said, no, we want to keep you on the guitar. So I said, all right, you mind if I write some songs? They said, yeah. So I wrote one song the next week, another song the next week, and I was writing new music every week. Then they had a riot up there, and they sent me to Texas. And when I got to Texas, I took a whole portfolio of my music with me, and 3 days after I got out of the hole up there, I was playing a concert in front of all the inmates. It was like 1,800 people in that yard. We were playing all my music, but that's because that was a blues, like a heavy blues. That's what I started writing, was blues originally, kind of a blues rock, really heavily distorted. And then I gravitated towards downtuned music while I was there. I did a lot of covers and my own music for quite a while, played it all the holidays. Then I think I wrote 32 songs over there. I've got all of them still, everything in the same paper I wrote it on. And I got so into it that I just decided when I get out, that's going to be my goal. I'm going to build a big band around good musicians, solid musicians, not a bar band, not a cover band. And it's just evolving into what I wanted it to be.
What would you say is your favorite Attica 7 song?
That's hard to say, but Devil's Daughter, Serial Killer, All or Nothing, Lockdown. I can keep going, man. It ended up being the whole damn album.
Yeah, I got to agree with you with that. I mean, there's not a bad song on the CD. But can you take us back to where you were physically and mentally when you wrote one of these songs? and what was going through your mind there?
When I wrote Lockdown, I was in a cell, and if you listen to the lyrics in Lockdown, it's an inmate, and it's definitely a serious prison song. Another one, No Redemption, wearing a number on your chest, having eyes in the back of your head, because that was the thing. You always had a number on, and you had to have eyes in the back of your head all the time.
Do you feel that had you not went to prison, that you would be where you're at today musically?
If I didn't go to prison, Attica 7 wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing music. It completely changed my life when I went in there. I redirected my thinking, and I'm glad. I love the music. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing with my business, building these bikes. I love the music even more. And the TV, the different things that I'm into now, I mean, I'm enjoying every day. That's one thing I can say is out of that experience, when I finally did get out, I appreciate every day. Even a bad day is a great day.
One of the things that I noticed that when I went out to cover the Uproar Tour is after I saw your band, there was an it factor, a magic, a something that that people can relate to and forget about problems and stuff like that, you know, with your music. And I fully believe that people are going to jump into your genre from others and come together with your music. What do you feel is the reason for that?
I think one of the reasons that that our music is so universal, it's not just one little niche like metal or just rock or something else. It draws people from all different genres because there is a little blues influence in there. There's the rock influence. There's the metal influence. And every riff that's in there was written with feeling. I mean, when I write riffs for music, I don't just write riffs to write riffs. I write riffs that I feel, hooks that I feel. And it's got to really, like, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of a thing. You know, it's like I know when I got those sweet spots in the groove, and that's what I incorporate into my choruses, into my verses, the breakdowns. I try to get the whole thing woven together so it's a feeling that you have. It's not just music. It's you feel the music, and that's important. You got to feel those hooks. That's what the hooks are, you know? And the same with the lyrics. When I write lyrics, 90% of the time, I write the lyrics after I've done all the riffs and the choruses, everything, they fall together. But I start out with the first line. First line is always the hardest line when I write because it sets the pace for everything to follow. And then it just starts flowing like water. And it's very, a little bit of poetry, but it always tells a story almost every time. I don't want to just write ridiculous sentences, you know, just to fill the void with vocals. You know, I want it to tell a story. If you wrote it as poetry or just as a story, it has a beginning and an end, usually.
My photography and my video is I try to look at things as a voyeur in letting people see the world through my camera. I see that same thing in your music. I mean, people are able to come into where you were and experience that, or, you know, relate things to their lives. What's your trick to letting people see that?
Well, like in the song Serial Killer, I'm not a killer. I've never killed anybody. But just as when you're an actor, you know, you act, you kill people in the movie, that doesn't make you a killer. But you have to be into that part. You have to become that person. And when I wrote that song, I really had to get deep into the character of this serial killer that was telling the story in his lyrics. And if you listen to the lyrics in that song, that's what it is. This is a guy that he's a killer. He doesn't necessarily want to be a killer. He can't help it. The demons take over, and he does what he does. It's not like he's looking for this to happen. It happens, and he tells it as the story comes out. When you're listening to the song, it's very evident that he's almost a victim of himself.
Wow. And I think that's the magic that all your songs have is you see it from the real thing. I mean, the real deal. The you know, what's in the mind of a serial killer. I mean, who knows that? And
yeah, I tell you, I've been in some places, I've been around some people that were that kind of people, and it emanates out of some of them. It just emanates so bad that you can feel it before they even say anything. And then there's others that they're like multiple personality type of people. They would be the nicest people in the world, but the other side of them is the homicidal side that flips, and it's like they're the most dangerous ones because they're a chameleon. And you can never trust people like that. But I've been in situations with a lot of people that are that type of people, both those kind of killers. And to try to put your mind in that place is, it takes a minute to get there. And if you want to write something that's believable with that feeling, you have to get your mind there. You have to be that person to do it.
That's a scary thing to attempt to get into a place like that and get out.
Yeah, I tell you, I remember specifically when I did that, and I remember the feeling I had, and it wasn't a good feeling, let me tell you. I wouldn't be proud to think like that on a daily basis, let me tell you.
Well, there's not too many writers that are going to be able to come up with the music that you have, and again, I think that's probably the biggest part of listening to your CD that's out right now, that it's just every song on there. I mean, I instantly bought the CD, and there's not a song on there I don't like.
We've got a really, really good team of players right now. Without even having a bunch of rehearsals under our belt, we can go out and play shows, and we did. And a lot of the time you take players, you're going to have to play at least 7, 8, 9 rehearsals together before they're actually tight enough to go out in public. We didn't even need to do that in this case.
Yeah, I saw you guys on your second show, and I was hooked right then and there. Like I said, I think I even really got in trouble because I didn't photograph any other bands but you guys. But it pretty much paid off. And I think the other thing I liked about Attica 7 is that it was so cool to see you guys after you perform. You're at the merch booth, and you're there till the time you guys leave. I mean, you were there with a solid line of fans taking pictures and signing autographs. And I mean, you, to me, that's a true rock star. I mean, you were passionate. It's like you guys, if you could afford it, would go out there and play for free, you know, just to play that music. I mean, that's kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, if it was just about the money, we would have quit doing this a long time ago. I would have quit way before I hooked up with the lineup that we have now. Money has nothing to do with it. And the fans, they're the most important, and we really appreciate it. When we see these fans that come from 100 miles away or more to see the show, you know, see it in motels, and I mean, that's really true fans. And we're going to do everything we can to make that experience as good as we can for them. And when the show's over with, we're going to spend time with them. We're going to sign autographs, give them merch, you know, sell them merch, give them merch, everything. You know, we're going to make the experience as best we can for them.
It was funny watching you guys, you know, have fun with this, where you were throwing out the shot glasses and people were catching them as they're going by. And,
yeah.
And you know, the parts that a lot of the fans don't get an opportunity to see, like, well, you know, the rock star life where you're living in truck stops and things like that. But and you even had on your tour manager, Al. Wasn't there a couple of episodes with him where some funny things happened there with truck stops?
There's episodes with Al all the time. He's great entertainment. Yeah, I left him at least one truck stop. I actually sent him out to check the rear tire one time, and while he was out there, I locked the door, drove off, and left him at the truck stop. Hey, Al, come up here, will you?
What's up, Rusty? I think that rear tire's low, man. Would you check that back, the tag axle?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man, thanks. Hey, shut that door when you get out, will you?
We're going to leave his ass again, man. I'm going to lock this door.
Thank you.
can't believe he left his ass.
I remember another time at another truck stop, he was outside doing whatever, fueling or something, and I took off, and he actually ran, jumped up on the mirror in the bumper and held onto the thing, so I couldn't get rid of him that time. I had to stop and let him in. And I think at another venue, we were backing out, and I had him help back the bus out. He was guiding me as soon as I got out and took off. And I heard I had the door open still while I was driving. It sounded like Fred Flintstone trying to catch the bus with those heavy feet. I said, damn, this guy can run, man. I had no clue he could run like that. I finally let him in that time, too. He deserved it. You know, he had to run quite a ways, you know, so.
You know, musically or through life in itself, if you could go back in time and change something, what would you change?
You know, it's funny because you say that, like, you know, I've thought about this many times. I would love to change the mistakes I made that sent me to prison. But then I think if I changed what sent me to prison last time, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be going in a whole other direction. So I took a very bad experience that happened to me in 1999, and I turned it into a good thing. I took everything I had to work with, flipped it. And because of that, I'm so happy with everything I'm doing, I don't want to change that. And I would have to take that back, because there's really not much that I regret since I've been released. It's all been a pretty good trip.
Your bike building. I mean, this shop is, I mean, you're sitting in front of an $80,000 bike right there, and your bikes are amazing. Where's that going to go with Attica 7, you know, taking off?
You know, I look at what I have going on here like a triangle. It's like the devil's triangle. I've got Illusion, I've got the music, and I've got the TV. And it's all interlinked, and they all work for each other. So what one does pulls the other out. And they're all connected all the time. And I love it. It's a great cross-promotional type of a thing. Personal branding, bands, brand, bikes, brand, everything's doing well. So the better the music does, I think the better the bike business will do.
And the TV, Sons of Anarchy, that's a huge, huge show. I mean, how did that happen?
You know, it's just that was luck. You know, Kurt Sutter's a great guy. I really like him. He started that show 5 years ago, and he's a smart guy. He went out and did his homework. He came by here. He's visited many Hell's Angels. He wanted to go to the top of the food chain and learn about clubs, and he did. And it's a drama. You know, it's not real, but it can't be real. If you're going to be entertaining, you have to be dramatic. You have to have a lot of that stuff going on. That's what people need to not lose focus on. You know, it's a fantasy, but it's great. You know, but he did a lot of work in reality so that he could have the most realistic of fantasies. And look at it. It's a cult following, man. The thing's crazy. It's over 5 million people regularly watching us. I'm honored to be part of it.
I've had the incredible fortune to travel with you guys on the road for what seems to be months, but it's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah, with you wear on us a lot. It seems like yours to me, you know what I mean?
I don't make too many mistakes, but the ones I do make are pretty big, so.
Oh, like leaving me in a truck stop? Yeah, that was a good one. At 4 in the morning, I think it was.
Yeah, it was pretty cold, too. I felt pretty
I'm
bad.
I'm glad
about
I
that.
Got my phone with me. That's all I could say. You guys would have been all the way to L.A. before you figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to put footage of that up there. So, but one of the things that I noticed is that everything that you do, whether you're driving a bus or orchestrating the band and in your organizational skills and your leadership skills and when we go places, like last night, the Rainbow, after you played at the Key Club, I mean, they closed the place down, but you and your few select friends were allowed to stay. Something about you is just you know, people love. You know, what do you think that is?
I just try to treat everybody the way that I want to be treated. And I look at people, you know, and I give them the equal respect that they deserve. And there's so many people out there that feel entitled. deserve to be treated, you know, and people will they'll appreciate that. That's all, just being fair, man. Consequences are the most important thing to think about. Everybody, the action that you do, whether it be good or bad, always has consequences. If you do negative action, there's negative consequences. The bigger the action, the bigger the consequence. And those consequences don't go away. The action takes 2 seconds. We're all capable of all types of violence, all types of good, all types of bad. Anybody, I mean, from the smallest person, it doesn't matter your size. It matters your will to do it. And there's a lot of people out there, and they say, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Well, you know what? You're going to care when you get nailed. You're going to care when you pay those consequences. Because all this stuff out here, if you've never done time, been locked away in cells for a long time, you have no idea the consequences. And the people that have done it and say, oh, it ain't shit. Well, I don't even fuck those guys. Their opinion doesn't matter anyway. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. What's it like being in a little cell, solitary?
You know, you get used to it, I'm sad to say, but you'd have to. If you don't get used to it, you're not going to survive. You're going to go nuts. People are adaptable. You can do just about anything, and over time, somebody's going to be adapting to whatever it is. You know, whether it be torture. In this day and age, there's not physical torture, but they've refined mental torture to a fine art. And if you've got the government pissed off at you, they have many ways to mentally break you down. And they'll try, you know, and if you're strong, you won't be broke down, but you're not going to have a good time while they're trying.
Absolutely. Attica 7, it's www.attica7.com. We got some great stuff coming up in the future, you think, here?
Yeah, I'm real excited about what's going on right now. I don't want to get into the details because it hasn't happened yet, and it's not good to talk about things that haven't happened yet with certainty, but we've got some good things coming up in 2013. I think you guys will be seeing us in many places.
Okay, so right now your fans can get CD on your website.
They can go to our website. They can go to iTunes, Amazon. I think FYE or FYI, one of those stores, Best Buy.
Best Buy?
Yeah.
All right. And merchandise, shirts, things like that?
We got shirts, CDs, hats, posters, and the stuff's growing. You know, it's kind of in the infancy right now.
Music videos on the coming up?
Yeah, we do have one music video for Serial Killer that's done right now. I don't know if we're going to re-edit it. It's a good video, but I want to have a great video. So we'll see what happens there. We have plans for a series of videos coming up here within the next 2 to 3 months.
Fantastic. All right. Well, the fans are going to be in for a treat. I mean, like I said, I've been fortunate to travel with you guys, and you are my ultimate favorite. I've listened to a lot of bands, been with a lot of bands, but when people ask me what was your favorite tour, I'm going to have to say Attica 7.
Right on, man. You want me to pay you now?
check would be fine.
My
actually,
home, sorry, man.
Actually, I was thinking about a new bike. I mean, that one behind you looks pretty
what?
Good. So a new bike.
What?
Bike.
Hear, what?
Motorcycle.
Huh? I can't hear. I've been playing so much, I can't hear.
That thing behind you lit up really beautiful. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
My sight messed up too, man. I gotta start getting rest. You know?
All right.
I'm Rusty Coons with the band Attica 7, and you've been watching Rock This Magazine.
Are we live? Are we dead? Do we know?
No, we're good. They're still working on it, though.
Okay.
People can still hear us.
Oh, okay. So I meant to say,
yeah. We're okay.
Well, if you don't know our good friend Rusty Coons, he's quite an interesting fellow.
Yeah, I mean, I already got an interesting fellow asking me if we can get him one signed. Well, what would you like signed, Henry? A poster? A CD? Send me a message. Let me know. Go ahead, Bill.
When he was in jail doing time, I tried to send him some... and this will help anybody else that knows people in jail. I sent him some interesting letters, more like questions to make him focus on issues of, well, let's say, how to fix a certain motorcycle, how to do something this. I actually had one friend of mine write a whole letter in Japanese. So he had to go out now and get a translator, figure what the hell is going on, and get back to it there. So I encourage anybody that does know a friend in jail, keep them stimulated if you can. Rusty was saying that anybody can finally get used to being stuck in a small cell. The Jews, during World War II, when they're being led to the gas chambers, they sang a song. I'm not going to sing the song, I don't know the words. But it came down to, translation was, you can have my body, you can never have my mind. The Nazis hated this song so bad. Just to sing the song was enough to be put in the gas chambers. But since they were already in the concentration camps, they were already going, they would sing the song as they went into the gas chambers. You have my body, you can never touch my mind. Rusty's talking about prison, and he was talking about torture. You have to draw the line as to what you're going to put up with. Rusty was talking about trying to keep your good time, but at the same point, you can't be a punk.
Right.
People will take advantage of you. You got to decide what you want to do. But no matter what they do to you, I promise you, they can never touch your mind. Right now, as we're talking, if I had a gun, I could make you go outside and open up your car door, blah, blah, blah. I could never touch your mind. You can be beaten. You can be shot. That's physical. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. Of course it hurts. But I'm telling you, the most important thing you have is your mind. And your mind is the strongest thing there is.
That's correct.
If you come from an abusive home, and for sure, Philip and I meet a lot of people like that, the strong ones are the ones that they don't necessarily forgive their family for the abusive beatings they took, but that made them a stronger person. So when they had their families, they were realized that violence is not a part of their life, and they raised wonderful children. They cannot touch your mind. As we're talking right now, nothing can hurt you.
No, and these fuckers are trying to hurt us with the server, and now they're saying that it's the server and the phone company are in cahoots with probably whoever fucks with us usually.
Yeah.
And once they get that cleared up, I got a link to them for instant message.
All right. These things happen, boys and girls. And some days you get rain, some days you get snow. Some days you get the bull, some days you get the horn. Right now we're having some major setbacks.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's all right. We've been around for a long time. We're going to keep making in here. I hope some people listen to me about that slavery, slavery. I didn't know anything about this.
No. And the other night, Tuesday night, we did that. We did the show. I had two lawyers on.
Uh-huh.
They wrote that pedophile bill for
America. Right. A Eunice, a good friend Eunice.
Next day we had 30,000 hits listening to that.
Yeah.
I haven't looked since, but probably a little more, I'm thinking. But since Rusty talked about some of his songs, I'm going to play one of his songs. This one's called Attic 7, Lockdown. Thank you. Well, you know, Bill, I think we'll give him another. We'll give him another one.
Why are you looking for that? I want to remind you, there's another movie put out by another Hell's Angel. This one was Sonny Barger.
That's correct.
And what's it, Five Steps?
Dead in Five Heartbeats.
Dead in Five Heartbeats. That's coming out soon to your neighborhood. I'd like to give a good plug to ours. A friend of ours just got out of the Marine Corps. And Bill Husby. And I want you to know that he stars as one of the Infidels. It's a made-up motorcycle club. So if you watch that, look for the Infidels. You see one of our good friends in there. So good luck to him on that career. So what else we got new that you like in his songs?
I'm trying to find it right here, Bill. Hold on. There it is right here. This is one of the ones they play.
Oh, Devil's Daughter, yeah. Devil's Daughter. You kind of like this one, boys and girls.
Oh, let me... I don't want to play the live one. It's too loud. I know what. We'll go with the live one. This was done in September of last year.
You guys...
Again, we are kind of a different program tonight because of the fact we are having major problems with the server and the telephone company, God knows what. So we appreciate your patience. Might be a good time to lay back in that chair and, you know, maybe do a little puff-puff, you know? Might be a good time, you know?
Maybe.
Bring a friend over, invite a friend over, share the little puff-puff.
We'll give him a little Into the Blackness. This one's called Into the Blackness by Attica 7.
But live radio, live television, whatever we do is happening right now in front of us.
Right. We had a caller in there, but disappeared. Let's see.
I know it's that server / telephone company. Apologize. We'll get this all worked out, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages.
And they just said they're going to test ours now, Bill.
All right.
So let's see what they come up with here. But I thought there was unison there.
Ain't this something? So getting back to what I was talking about, if you have any friends doing time in prison, do it old fashioned, write them. Don't just say how much you miss them. Give them some intellectual stimulation. Give them some questions. Give them some challenges with that. sad, sad letters just makes them more
depressed.
All right,
hang on, Bill, hang on. Who's ever on the phone trying to call in? Laura, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Busy signal.
Did I get a busy signal? No.
Okay. It says our line is working now. Let's see. Anybody want to call in, go ahead and call in now because they say they fixed it. So, obviously, with Laura being here, it's working.
Of course.
Hold on one second. 517.
Hi, this is just Mandy with Blog Talk Radio. I was just testing your line to make sure it was working properly.
So far, we can hear everybody.
Okay, great.
Eunice, are you out there tonight?
I'm here.
Little girl, how are we doing?
I'm doing, Bill. How are you doing?
You know, my doctor tells me I'm stronger than yesterday. I'll be even better tomorrow. It's a guarantee.
That's great. I was having trouble connecting with you guys.
Oh, don't worry about it. They fucked with this shit again, so.
Because
50 minutes trying to get this all connected. Server, telephone company, everything got jammed up a little bit in there. But,
Oh,
what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Hey, listen. I'll tell you something, Phil. Common and the Mitchell Garabedian were very impressed with the show.
Cool. Perfect. Oh, you know what? I was supposed to text. I forgot.
I know.
I
won't say it.
Okay.
You guys are always holding secrets on me.
From Tuesday.
Okay,
Phil.
All right.
The lawyers are going to...
Yes.
We got another caller, don't we, brother? 508-6, you out there?
Oh, yes. I'm finally here. Let's have a party.
Was there a problem with the show? Did I miss something?
Yeah, dude. I kept calling in. Busy signal. At first, I couldn't get no sound in the chat. Finally got sound in chat. So I've been sitting for the last hour listening to the Rusty Coons interview. And, you know, I'm here. Let's the party begin. Where's the doctor? Where is he?
Where's the doctor?
Yeah, and the doctor's been waiting just to talk to you, I guarantee.
Oh, look at that.
Now, please, I know you get excited when Bill's on.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Please control yourself.
I will try, Eunice, just for you.
Bill, you know we're gonna get an added feature. I'm gonna hook up the webcam and shit. So these ones that say they're sitting there, you know, drinking wine naked, getting their feet up. We'll see if they're talking shit or not.
I got
a camera of mine.
There's one.
The other didn't say shit.
Well, let me tell you something, Bill. If I was sitting here drinking wine without any clothes on, you would not want a webcam on me.
Every woman brings something to the relationship. Every woman brings something special to the bedroom. So you can't say that.
I'm telling you, believe me, I scare myself when I look in the mirror.
Oh my goodness. Eunice, you're a trip. Oh my god.
Well, you know, since we were talking about sexy and naked and wine and shit, Bill and I are looking at this woman with 153 triple X breasts who says she's never had any breast augmentation surgery.
Oh, my God.
Can you describe that?
I was breast fetish a child, so I certainly believe in well-endowed young ladies. I have an issue. My rule of thumb is, the size of your head, each one of your breasts should not be bigger than the size of your head. That's about perfect for me. When each one of your breasts is bigger than your head, it's getting a little bit out of control. Now, there are beautiful women out there which are large breasts and all that, but I'm just saying, for myself, who's a bit conservative, a large-breasted woman should be each breast not bigger than their head. That's what I kind of measure.
I don't know. Some women's heads are a little bit, like, huge. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I have to say on that.
That when I'm at the bike shop and we have different dancers come in and different friends of mine who well endow the upper torso, I focus constantly on their eyes. I would never stare as long as I have a conversation going. Now, as they start to leave, maybe out of my peripheral vision, I check it out very carefully. But it's disrespect to the women, but it is a sign of weakness for me not to make full eye contact with the women while I'm having conversation. That's how I feel about that. Women, how do you feel if men are staring at you when you're at your breast while you're talking at them?
Well, you know,
well,
Bill,
first of all,
I can wait. Hang on, I can elaborate on that one. Let me get real quick. What was it that Nora wrote here, Bill? Do you remember?
You mean the man's holiday for the blowjob?
No.
Wait a minute. What? What did I miss?
Fine.
I did not hear that.
Night of a woman's cleavage reduces a man's ability to think clearly by 50% per boob.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's, I think I have to look at your eyes. I have to have as a person, or I might get confused. So
well,
I've always
true.
Sign of respect for women to focus deeply in their eyes when you speak to them and not stare at them. As soon as they turn to walk away out of my peripheral vision, I am sucking in every bit of eyesight I can. That's who I am. But I think it is a sign of weakness on my part to stare at a woman's breast when you're trying to have a conversation.
Well, you know, it is true because you have to understand, boobs bring everything to a man's attention. So whether if you show cleavage or not, boobs are the one thing that prove that men can focus on two things at once.
You know, I actually have some of the some of our friends that come in the shop, well-endowed young ladies. They actually get a little bit irritated. No, you never stare at my chest. Well, honey, when we're talking, I'm not staring at your chest. When I'm talking to you. I appreciate the women come in the short skirts and the low-cut tops. I do appreciate that. Again, it's a sign of respect and a sign of strength for me not to just stare at a woman. I just don't feel comfortable. That's what I feel about that. But I'm peeking. I'm out my peripheral vision. As soon as we're done talking, I'm soaking to your body in, I guarantee it.
Now the truth comes out.
No, everybody knows that. I try to be respectful, but then once it's over, you know, I comes in and she appreciates people looking.
At one time, they used to look at my breast, too, you know. Yeah, at one time,
yeah.
You know, when I was young and tender.
Aren't you the one that said you like it on top?
Oh
yeah.
God.
And on Saturday night.
Saturday night special.
That's right.
I should listen to Tuesday's show more often. I think I'm missing a lot here.
You are.
Oh, you are.
Great, dude, I guess. I'm missing out on all this here.
Well, you know, Bill, Nora said she's so happy she can sit rainbows. We want pictures, don't we?
She's so happy she can shit rainbows? Our little Nora said. Not our little innocent Nora.
I am far from innocent, I tell you.
I believe you, Nora. I believe you.
Yeah. I'm not innocent. I have the innocent face, but not the mentality or the brain to go with it. Okay?
Well, I've been innocent all my life. You want to believe that one?
No. Well, in the presence,
we're not agreeing.
In the presence
well,
of ladies like
that, a,
allow me to act like a gentleman at least.
Yeah,
that's right. And I appreciate that, Bill.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that myself.
Yes, I appreciate the fact that you know you appreciate good art.
And like I said, that's why I appreciate every single woman out there, because every woman brings something special to the relationship. Every woman brings special to the bedroom. So every woman out there has something special to offer.
And, let's not ask about socks tonight either, okay?
Dating girls wearing socks tonight, boys and girls.
So, Phil, did we get a lot of hits the other night?
You got 30,000 the next day. And
you're kidding me. Really?
No, I haven't checked it since. But
I heard that was a good show.
Yeah.
I heard that was like valuable information. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was. They're super, super people, believe it or not. And I know a lot of people, you know, like I said, not too many lawyers are dedicated like they are. So,
you know, we have friends that are lawyers, and it is a very tough occupation. They become calloused after a while. We have some very good people, but I notice as years go on, they get a little bit rough around the edges, and I think it's maybe just for the clientele they have to be with the whole time. Also, we have a lot of attorneys. Let's skip the attorneys. We have a lot of congressmen, senators, mayors that Philip and I know. Somehow, after being years in the public service, it kind of wears on you. They come, congressmen, senators, they actually become crooks because of the fact they have to share information for their bill to pass. They've got to add on another bill. I think it just tears your honesty down.
It does. Some, you know, I said it before and I'll say it again. America needs a good enema.
Yeah,
and you know what? It does happen.
Yeah.
We just don't see it how we'd like to, or how we can say it. Meaning, if you look at the perspective in regards to, you know, certain events that take place, you know, major loss of life and stuff like that, it's an enema. You know, if people are dying from the flu season, it's an enema. There's always something that's taking place. You can look at it that way, you know.
Well, that's the only way you can look at it, because how these people can sleep with themselves when they sell themselves so short, you know, and that's exactly what they're doing. And who are we to judge, you know? We're not the ones that I would love to judge, but, you know, in my mind I judge, but in my heart somebody else is going to judge him, you know.
Right.
So it's too bad.
Again, everybody I know goes into politics and they want to save the world, but somehow the word world beats them down to the point they get frustrated and they can become calloused.
Right.
You know what it is, Bill? If you don't go with the old boys, which we call the old boys on the Hill.
The good old boys.
You do not get picked for the juicy committees.
Right.
You know, if you don't go along with their game plan, they can snub you so bad it's unbelievable and make your life really miserable. And it's too bad it has to be that way. You know, see, I'm not afraid to name the old boys. Where Carmen and Mitchell, because of the profession they're in, you know, kind of, you know, I don't expect them to do that. They expect me to beat them down, you know, and I do it because what can they do to me, you know? I'm a great old lady that
got more balls than some of the guys we know.
But, you know, who else can do it? You know, I'm not patting myself on the shoulder. It's not for me. What am I getting out of this? I'm going to get peace. That's what I'm going to get out of it. Money-wise, I'm not getting anything out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get peace for our children. You know? So, yes, I will. When I have the names, I name them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not afraid to name them.
Well, you know, when Philip and I go to the police station because a officer is doing something we consider to be out of bounds, I don't want the officer. Philip and I are not trying to sue the Oceanside Police Department. What we're trying to do is bring to their attention an issue, a problem. And if we can resolve it, I always feel good leaving the police station. Well, I guess anybody feels good leaving the police station. But I feel we've done something. And as you talked about, Phil and I get no money. We get aggravation. A couple of cops get mad because we, you know. But we go. I go to bars. Phil's in the bar. Who are just complaining about everything. And I say, well, why don't you do something? No. No, I don't want to do that. Well, what does it do to complain?
You know something? The people that complain the most do shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I always
am I
say,
right or am I wrong?
Oh, no, you're right there.
Like
people badmouth me an awful lot, and they say, well, Bill does this, Bill could have done that.
Bill's progressive.
These people ain't doing nothing, criticizing me.
That's right. They don't do nothing.
But everything I do is wrong. Philip is doing something. Oh, he could have done something better. Well, why don't you help Philip? Why don't you do something? But no, you wait to see what we're doing, and so you can go down the bar and say, oh, they're doing this for their own ego, or they're doing this, or they could have done that. People, if they would help us, it would make our jobs a lot easier.
You know what I tell people, Phil, and Bill, up at the State House?
What there?
You know what I say to them? Don't try to jump on the fucking wagon after it starts moving.
Yeah.
Be there pushing it.
Yeah.
You know. Common says it all the time. Eunice, I don't know where you come up with these sayings, but you come up with them all the time. And it's the truth. It's only common sense. If you're going to help in something, stop pushing that wagon up the park.
Yeah.
Don't get on it when it starts going down the hill. You know. That's what you have to do.
I'm pretty mellow. I try to think things through. Our local political organization, they just seem to talk rhetoric and give us more money and more voters. And I don't see a lot being done. I went to a meeting, which I'm not really supposed to go to anymore. They don't want me there. I said, why don't we get together, say 50 of us or more, drive downtown San Diego and shut our bikes off. Block all the traffic on the main. With the fire, I checked with the tow truck people.
Questions about Copenhagen to scout out the newspaper offices. Prosecutor wanted to spend 30 years in prison, but the defense attorney said he only sent a few.
What is that?
Don't know.
What?
I don't know what that is either.
I don't know.
What?
Is that somebody's TV?
Yeah, that's the TV.
Oh, what is that? What is that background noise?
All right, you guys, hold on a second. This is your caller for Saturday.
Listen, we've got a call. I want you guys all to hang on. I got a friend of mine calling in about this event, about his club brother that was killed on. Well, let me. Nuke, come on in. Nuke, you tell us what's going on, please. Nuke,
hey,
you
Bill.
On?
Hey, Bill, you there?
We're fine, buddy. We had some problems with the server and the television, the radio, whatever the hell it is. But we're all live. We've got people listening. Tell us why you called tonight. Nuke, tell us who you are first. What organization?
My name is Staples. I'm from the Mission Chapter of the Rough Riders Motorcycle Club here in North County, San Diego, based out of Oceanside. On December 19th of this last December, Wednesday prior to Christmas, there was a wrong-way driver that was driving erratically. I come to find out now he was actually drunk. He killed one of my brothers from the Rough Riders Dago chapter. We're doing a memorial barbecue for him at our clubhouse this coming Saturday. We're expecting a large turnout of people for that. So basically what we're trying to do is just take donations online and whatnot. There is a memorial fund set up for him. The address through PayPal is Durant Memorial at yahoo.com. That's Durant Memorial at yahoo.com. He was an active duty Marine. He was 36 years of age. I left behind a wife and two kids, and the family is really hurting for cash right now. We're doing as best we can with this memorial and whatnot, but those people that are out there that would like to help out with the family and whatnot, they would greatly appreciated, and so would our club. We're doing all we can for them and with them to get help them get through this. It happened around, you know, the holidays is probably the worst time of the year to lose a loved one, but we're doing what we can for them. So that's pretty much it, Bill.
Your wife next?
I'm sorry, what?
Your wife next to you?
No, she's not.
Oh, I was going to say, remember our conversation last week? Take that
yeah.
breath. I was
yeah.
going to say, next time you say every time you say I was going to have your wife smack you. You have a good voice for radio. You have a sincere voice. Just take
well,
that breath. I want you to be more of a public speaker, sir. You have a credible voice. You only gave us about half the amount of Oz, so it came out much better. This guy has been a friend of mine for years. He's a hard-working schmuck. He's a family man. He works at least a couple jobs. You got your day job. You got your night jobs. And your night job is you're a bouncer in a bar. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm the head of security at one of the local pubs here in North County.
Don't you realize this boy's not some little pushover. He's a decent-sized boy. He's a healthy boy. The issue is... I like what the referees are doing. I like the fact that we're taking care of our own. Screwdriver and I are going to try to be out there Saturday right after about 3 or 4 o'clock. We're not sure yet, so we'll be out there. You also did tell everybody that's listening that they could, if they wish, to send a check in, how they could send that. Is that correct?
Yes. I didn't tell anybody that. I don't exactly have that information presently, but I can get it.
When you get it, stop it off with Bill, and I'll post it on the blog for you.
Oh, that'd be great. I appreciate that.
Just in the month of December, we had 1.5 million hits, Bill.
I have a question. May I ask you a question, sir?
Sure, absolutely.
Do you have the flyer in front of you? Because I don't have the flyer, sir.
Yes, I do. Let me, let me pull it up right quick.
Take your time, sir.
Go ahead and shoot, Bill. What's up?
Is there a line about three quarters down about some type of... is there an interesting line on that flyer that you'd like to repeat so I could talk about it? What line it is?
I believe you're referring to the cultural dancing and feats of athletic prowess.
Hey, we got to stop right there. You're our motorcycle club. Are you going to tell us what that's about, or are we going to have to go down Saturday and find out for ourselves?
I can tell you what that's about. It's a we're bringing in a stripper. So, what would a memorial be without a stripper and a folding stripper on? So, yeah, that's pretty much what that's about.
All right, because I was hoping. I just didn't want to get there and have a lot of your prospects in tutus dancing around. Thank God we're going to have a stripper there.
Yeah, no doubt. I've given quite a lot of thought to your question that you asked me over at your shop the other day about calling in like once a week and just talking about whatever. And
sure.
I think I may take you up on that.
I can tell you right now, from last week's show, this week's show, your voice is so much more relaxed. You're fine. We have a lot of events going on in San Diego, and a lot of our listeners are tired of hearing my voice. They're certainly tired of hearing Philip's voice. So if you'd like to give us a little plug time to time and tell us what's going on, if these events that do not affect your motorcycle club and your club does not want you to identify yourself as a member of the club, then just give us your name only, saying you're giving us a little report. How's that sound?
I can do that, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I don't want you to get in trouble with the club and all that, so let them know what you're doing. And if you wish to tell us what's going on locally, blah, blah, that'll be fine. If you wish to identify yourself as of the club, whatever the club feels comfortable with. I just don't want that to bite you in the ass later. Okay, brother?
Not a problem. It's all about protocol and respect.
There we go. Are there any of the listeners that would like to ask any messages or any questions to our speaker?
Ryan just joined us. Well, I just sent you to Ryan from Colorado.
All right.
Hey,
ladies, any questions for our friend here tonight before I turn them off? No, all pretty set and die. All right, then, amigo, I will see. Wait a minute, why am I calling you Nuke and you calling yourself Staples? What am I lost? I just realized that. Who the hell is Staples? Why am I calling? I've always called you Nuke. Where's Staples? Go ahead.
Nuke is a patch holder from Wild Horse Chapter.
Okay. I just flashed on that, and I realized the difference between the two right now. So I said, well, you're both good-sized men and all that, but yeah, exactly. You both have beautiful wives, and that's why. Maybe I'll see him. Come say, wait a minute, something's off here. Now, for all of our listeners here, I apologize. I got two faces at the same motorcycle club confused for a second, though. I apologize for that.
No problem.
All right, brother. But you know my heart's into it. I look forward to seeing you Saturday night. And that's in Escondido, California, North San Diego. And we shall look forward to hearing from you in the future. You can just be our roving reporter if you'd like, sir, all right?
I appreciate that, Bill, and I appreciate the time on your show. Thank you very much.
Yes, my brother. And we hope you have a very successful show. And I guarantee you, if you're going to have a stripper, Philip and I will be there, all right?
We will, and I will see you there.
All right, brother. Thank you much.
All right.
Ryan on the phone, I say, right?
That's correct.
Ryan, good evening.
How's it going out there?
Oh, we're doing fine. Just got a little local stuff. A few runs going on. We got to take care. One of our guys died Christmas Day. Drunk driver took him out. We're going to have a little celebration. It's a club member. Philip and I are not club people at all, but we have some very good friends in the clubs. So what's with you tonight, buddy?
Well, I'm currently driving around Denver trying to find a liquor store because I had to go to the doctor today, and I had this deal inserted all the way through my nose down into my stomach, and figured the best way to keep it from making me cough is to go drink some alcohol, so I'm going to go round up some beers.
You better drink it when you get home, Bryce.
I know. I'm going to make sure I get back to the motel.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, I've had that stupid thing in since about 2:30, and it is driving me nuts. Every time I do anything, it's rubbing the back of my throat, making me want to throw up or gag. So
usually it's tight.
What's that?
I say usually it's tight butts that drive me nuts.
Right.
Little play. I know. Boo, hiss. Sorry about that. You know.
Well, I was kind of intrigued by your comment about a woman's boob shouldn't be any bigger than her head, and that works.
Each boob for me. I think that symmetry. You know, it all fits out nice and. You know, every woman can bring something special to the plate and all that. But to me, when a woman's breast, each one is no bigger than her head, I find that comfortable to me. And bigger than that, I think is, that may be a lot of back pressure for the lady. I can't see that being healthy. Just my opinion.
Right. And it's all about health. So I agree.
Yeah, I can
hear
you giggling.
You can
laugh louder than that. So who we got? We've got Stacy, Eunice, and Nora on tonight?
Yep.
We're all here.
No.
Right on.
Saturday's Gun Appreciation Day, Bill.
Gun Appreciation Day. Well, you and I'll be at a party where we guarantee there's going to be guns and strippers. That's a good way to have a final party. You know, the guy's passed away, we'll celebrate strippers and guns in a party. I think that's a civilized thing to do.
Well, you know,
I agree.
Did you tell Ryan that somebody walked in and asked you about Jacqueline today?
Ryan, a friend of mine wanted to know who was that strikingly beautiful redhead, and then I had to listen to a story how 10 years ago, he said, he knew a redhead similar to that. And then he told me story. I said, I don't want to hear all this. I said, I'm glad you enjoyed the picture. The girl in your mind 10 years ago was not this girl. But he thought the photography was spectacular. He thought the girl was spectacular. And he thought everything was very tastefully done. So kudos
very
on
cool.
that.
Yeah, Ryan takes some fantastic pictures. I've looked at all of his pictures, and I've commented on several. And, you know, some of them are beyond pictures. They're more like modern artwork because you really get a feel for what's going on. He takes some beautiful pictures.
Well, let me see if you got a feel for this. The IRS now wants to credit citizens who allow government to confiscate their firearms.
You're going to get a credit if you turn your firearms in. Isn't that wonderful, boys and girls?
Nuts.
Well, guys, I'm having a coughing spree here.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to change subject very slightly. I talked to some friends of mine from Australia today, Philip, and I was saying to them, what's the story about this, you turn your guns in? They said, well, Bill, what we've done is we've pretty much just buried our guns. So for all those people that you hear about, everybody in Australia turned their weapons in, the word I have of today is the majority of them have just buried their guns for when they need them. So if you heard about that, the whole country in Australia, you got to turn your weapons in. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I was quite concerned about it. That's radical. But it's good to know that many, many, many of my good friends in Australia have all just carefully buried their guns for a future time of day.
I don't mean to laugh, but Art just wrote, don't forget that show is good for a woman's health.
No, I mean, well, you know.
He said somebody's having a coffee.
Sore throat.
That's me.
Well,
I'm chewing ice.
Well, you're sucking on ice is what you're doing.
No, I'm chewing it.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
I'm out of here.
All right, we'll see you later.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Take care of you, Ness. Now, I have something that is very interesting that took place in my state. I can't say the town, but a local police department was raided by the feds and DEA for officers selling drugs after when they arrested drug dealers.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Only in my state.
Chicago, New York, Boston.
They were doing that. They were doing that when I was a kid.
Detroit, all the big cities.
Chicago.
Yeah, all the big cities have had nothing but police.
And this little town I live in. I live in a nice suburban town out in Rhode Island. Yeah, hey, that's Stacy talk. Sorry, but you know, we have a nice little small, good old boys police force and. One of the cops that happened to be on the force for, 25 years was one of the biggest drug dealers in this town because he'd take from the people he was busting, put in one hand, and sell it out the other. So it's
that's
everywhere.
What they were doing here.
Yeah.
You know, being grown up in Boston, one of the things I liked about the Boston police, they can grow beards. And
right.
I always thought that that'd be okay. Somehow, I don't know, this clean-cut, you know, short hair and all that, I don't know. It just don't quite go with me. But again, there are many of my friends that like short hair, and they think long hair is out. So old guys like me, we want to keep whatever little hair I got left. By the way, if you haven't seen a good picture of Philip has his back always. Philip's hair is pretty much almost down to his waist.
Yep.
He just keeps it all tied up and all that. A lot of people don't realize that. And
I wouldn't have known that. I thought he was bald.
He has to have that because of the welding he does. Those sparks will catch it up. That's the reason why he's got the clean-shaven face, too. Is that because of the mask and all that?
Yeah.
If you look carefully, just above Philip's ears, it's cut real short, again, because of the welding job with that.
So are you telling me you're sporting a mullet?
No,
I got your mullet hanging out with the twins.
In his dreams.
Thank you, Nora.
No problem.
Hey, here, open the door. I'll close it. What happened was my hair is pretty thick.
So is mine. What's the point?
The point is, I shaved the sides just like I did. It's like a high and tight, but the top is long.
Hey, it's
okay,
your story.
So it's a mullet.
It's your story.
Short on the sides.
Do it.
Hair all the way down.
No, it's not a mullet.
It could be a mullet.
It sounds like something Billy Ray Cyrus was sporting. Back
your hair.
I know.
Oh, well, a lot of people don't realize that. I want to point that out to you. First they go, Jesus, look at all Philip's hair. He does have very, very, very long hair. But again, the nature of his job is he keeps it tucked nice and tight and all that. And I don't know why I brought
that up.
I don't know why
he said that. I don't even give a shit about his hair, but I don't know where it came from. I don't know.
The funny thing is it just opened for nothing but, you know, razzing him.
Oh my God.
It's just like.
Well, my hair is getting donated in a couple of weeks. My hair's down past my age.
Good for you.
For the third time in my life, I'm donating it.
How long is yours?
Mine?
Yeah.
Past my waist.
Okay, mine's like about an inch from the crack of my ass.
Yeah, that's about where my hair sits.
Yeah.
You know?
I like to keep mine long.
No, mine's to the point where it needs a chop. And I cut it and I donate it to the Locks of Love Society.
Right.
About a month ago, she talked me into cutting off 6 inches.
Nice. Oh, I would have felt naked. I had 2 inches taken off last year. I felt naked.
It helps to make it grow a little bit.
But it doesn't help. It doesn't help when I pull up to the shop and Bill's talking to a husband and a wife or a couple looking at a. Yes, Henry says exactly. Tuck and roll tight. Anyway,
okay, I lost it. Where are we at here? Two weeks ago,
I pulled up to the shop. Yeah. I get out. I go inside, and I ain't even in the door 3 feet.
Oh, shit. I was bored.
Fucking Bill's bored because he knows he's doing lip service with this couple and their little boy.
She's a fine little girl.
Nice, good-looking woman. Anyway, he turns around, he grabs her, spins around, and points to me and says to her, "Does that guy look like he dyes his hair?" I never seen this fucking woman in my life. You know what she said?
What?
Sometimes if I get bored, do not come into my shop because you may be just the person I want to alleviate my boredom. I have no idea where I'm going to go.
You need to record some of the stuff you guys do. It's funny.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's funny. You know, and I bet Phil like turned 10 shades of red and this woman probably sat. Now, how did the woman respond? Now you have to finish the story.
The woman comes in with her husband to buy a motorcycle and the man wants the motorcycle. I think it is rude to ignore the women and just talk to the man about the motorcycle. I think we need to include the man's girlfriend or /wife, whatever it is, in the conversation. She may not be a mechanical or technical. She came down to see the motorcycle too. So I include the husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, in the sale of the motorcycle, in the conversation. And then when I get bored, I deviate. I could go anywhere.
You call Phil.
So how did the woman respond to if Phil colored his hair or not?
Oh, she flat out said, "Oh, yeah, he colors his hair, Bill." And I said, "Really?" I never saw Philip in her life. Oh my God.
Do you use the
men's gray?
No, he uses Mr. Clairol number 9.
Oh yeah,
you,
because that has to go
I
with
you.
His personality of the pink top and the skinny jeans.
And the blood tattoo.
Exactly.
They forgive, obviously, either. Yes.
Bill, you're a mess. You're a mess.
His masculinity is just poof gone out the window.
We have so many people at our motorcycle shop, and not everybody's here to buy a part. Not everybody's here to buy a motorcycle. It's just like it's a gathering. It's an old-fashioned shop where everybody can come in. I've got 30 chairs I could pull out. I don't care. Everybody's welcome. Let's sit and talk. We talk motorcycles. We talk politics. We talk everything. It's just a place to sit down and also know that if you bring your daughter, your mother, your grandmother in our shop, you won't hear, "Oh, fuck this, fuck that." No, we treat everything. If you bring the kids then, we treat everything with respect and all that. Now, if
right.
Just the guys in, oh, yeah, the language turns salty. That's the way guys
fuck. Here we
that's
go.
That's the way
no,
guys
No, now you got fucking Henry going. You color your hair?
Oh, didn't Henry know that?
Oh,
who's Henry? One of the same people.
Oh my God! I got tears rolling down my face.
We need Ryan to take photos of. We need Ryan to go to California and take photos of you know, filling his pink tank top with the tattoo, with the skinny jeans, and coloring his hair.
Hey, you could buy hair dye, you know, by the case.
Yeah, and I'm sure he does, because as long as his hair is.
Well, I don't know, that's asking a lot from both of us, really.
Hey, Phil, do you feel like you're on the stage of a Muppet Show and the two old people up in the little, you know, balcony are just, like, hammering at you right now?
Yeah.
All right. Phil's a big boy.
He's in the duck pond, so he can take it. He's a man. But,
if
you
we
know,
didn't love him,
Stacey,
if...
you and I will get his backlash at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I'm on the East Coast.
I'm glad I'm in the middle.
Yeah, three-way going here? What?
I have no fucking idea.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
No, we're talking about our location. She's glad she's at the East Coast.
I have no idea.
I'm not judgmental, my friends. I should like to mention to you, when I was younger and
yes.
I had hair, and before I had a helmet law, I knew every shop that had a mirrored window, so I could drive by on my motorcycle, look at my beautiful hair flowing behind me. And apparently, God's got a sense of humor, because he said, okay, enough of that egotistical stuff, Bill. That's when my receding hairline came in. But when it was thick and long down on my waist, every shop that had a mirrored window, I used to drive by just to look at myself in the window. How's
that
for
awesome.
Wow.
It is. It's awesome. I never pictured you with hair that long. I always assume, like, the length it's at now, you know?
Well, you know, if you guys go and look at the blog page and that picture in the back where we're standing in front of the guy standing by the waterfall, that's Bill.
I know that's Bill, but his hair is not, like, long down to his waist in that picture.
No. I've lost too much.
No, Phil has hair down by his waist.
Bill does.
Yeah. But Bill's talking about when he was younger and he used to drive by, and, you know, shops that had mirrored windows in the front, and he'd get to, like, fluff his long flowing hair.
But his long hair is probably always been, like, a little bit below his shoulder, which, you know, is long.
No, he said to his waist.
Pay
attention to the doctor, Nora.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about other things to say to Phil. I'm sorry.
That's why I said, I think God just said, well, now we got to take Bill down a notch or two. Bill's got way too much ego, so we're going to just take the hair away a little bit.
Now Henry says, now he knows why I wear a fucking hard hat. I tell Bill his wife he has nice hair.
Well, thank you very much. Oh, you know what I had the other day?
I can see this. This guy said I ignored his text the other day. Now I'm going to get all kinds of fucking texts from people.
It was really cold the other day at the shop, and I actually wore a baseball cap. Nobody's ever seen me in a baseball cap. I have no interest in a baseball cap. It was cold. People kept walking in and just staring at me. And I kept saying, what the hell is everybody looking at? Wow, we're just trying to imagine, like, when you had hair. I said, unbelievable. Everybody's used to seeing me. I never wear a headband. This is it. Who I am is what it is. It was cold. I wore a baseball cap. Actually, it was a stocking cap. Excuse me. And everybody kept staring at me. Wow. Now we know what you look like.
Okay, what is your cold consider of? Because we're supposed to be -1.
Oh, no, child. It's 70 degrees today, and it's going to be 70 degrees for the next week.
Not cold.
No, it's beautiful. I have a running battle with whether or not I'm going to put my chaps on. And I put my chaps on twice this whole winter. I go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. I go out to a nice restaurant, a nice expensive restaurant. I have breakfast outside so the wife can sleep and rest and all that. Phil, what time do you go to work in the morning?
3:30.
Okay. It's probably much colder at 8 o'clock in the morning when I go to work than it is for you at 3:30 in the morning. It's probably warm and all that at 3:30. 8 o'clock when I go out the door. In fact, with my wife's health and all that, I go to one restaurant so often that I mentioned to the waitress, I told my wife, I said to her that I'm going out several times and having breakfast with this beautiful young lady at her place. And I mentioned that, told that to the waitress, and she said, well, what did your wife say? And I told her what my wife said. When I told my wife that, she said, will she do your laundry too? And I went, honey, you aren't the least bit jealous? She goes, no. You can find some girl 8 o'clock in the morning. Just take your laundry with you. So humor, I think, helps enough.
Well, you know, Bill, I got a joke of the week, Bill. You want to hear it?
Is it a funny one?
It's pretty funny.
Okay, let's hear it. You guys want to hear a joke out there?
Sure.
Sure. Let's
Phil joke. It's a Phil joke, so you know where it's coming from.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right. Two old guys, 180 and 187, were sitting on a park bench one morning. The 87-year-old guy had just finished his morning jog and wasn't even short of breath. The 80-year-old made the guy's family and asked him why did he have so much energy. The 80-year-old said, well, I eat rye bread every day. It keeps your energy level high, and I have great stamina with speed. The 80-year-old stopped as he was looking around to say his lady asked if he needed any help. He said, do you have any rye bread? Yes, there's a whole shelf of it. Would you like some? He said, I want 5 loaves. She said, my goodness, 5 loaves? By the time you get to the 3rd loaf, it'll be hard. He replied, I can't believe everybody knows about this shit.
Okay, did I hear anybody laughing, applauding, or cheering? Anybody?
No, I was just going to say, that's it? Okay, that wasn't funny.
I think I'm hearing crickets.
I think somebody's saying, keep your day job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
go into a comedian. No,
good.
Don't be a comedian.
But you know
Sorry.
Something, boys and girls?
Well,
he is funny.
I
really
want to see a picture of your chaps with the thermal G-string.
He wants to see me in a set of chaps?
Oh. He built debating about putting on his... So Art says, well, he wants to see Bill's chaps with the thermal G-string.
Have a pair of chaps with the butt cheeks open?
Art, I have to explain something to you.
A thermal G-string? That's just not right.
At my shop, we have got several lesbian motorcycle clubs that come in. To my knowledge, we have never had any gay male motorcycle club member ever stop by my shop, and there would be no reason I would ever be out there in my chaps and a G-string. However, Philip has got a lot of pictures of him like that. If you'd like to see that, we can send you Philip.
Oh.
Phil does? Is that what you just said?
Phil, you gotta show America.
Why can't you put that up on the blog and Phil could be the babe of the week with his bike?
Yeah.
You know there's a fucking mute button here.
You know, there's probably a lot of women out there.
And so his long colored hair with a pink tank top and the tattoo and the skinny jeans.
Yeah, he'll be babe of the week for sure.
Yeah.
Phil, so, let me ask you something. I didn't know you had a tattoo.
I don't have a tattoo.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I've never seen your clothes off. I don't know. That shit.
I don't have a tattoo.
He has a butterfly tattoo.
Phil, you started the whole
Stacey
butterfly
said.
Stuff. Yeah, the whole butterfly deal was started over the summer.
Okay, I remember that. You remember the tattoo. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Him being a social,
butterfly.
And if you ever come, if you do go bump into us at the Easy Rider show or something, you will be absolutely amazed at our different personalities. I'm telling you, I'm walking around slow. I'm profiling. People walk up. I shake hands. Philip is out there talking to everybody in the whole show. People think, oh, no, Bill's a talker. I am not the talker. At the big shows, I'm telling you, Philip knows everybody by their first name. He knows their cousins. He knows their uncles. He knows every vendor. It's a trip. I walk down the aisle, and I lose him all the time because that's the difference. I know people say, no. It's true. Philip in person is quite the talker. There's nothing shy about me. I'm just a different type of personality. I love the microphone, though. God Almighty, get me
and
on
the
stage.
The only time you interrupt me is when I'm talking to a chick in a bikini or a good-looking broad dressed up.
There are times like that you need a mature man to step in there, and that woman needs a mature man there, you know? Oh, wait a minute.
So that means that Phil gets childish around the good-looking women. Okay, now we got it.
Didn't I bring you up on stage at a couple weeks ago? Where were you at?
I don't remember.
Yes, you do. You don't want to say it. I drag Philip on stage all the time when he's not prepared. My favorite time. asked him to speak for about 10 minutes or so. He goes, holy
shit. Oh, yeah, he did that to me at the clubhouse.
Yeah, we're at the clubhouse. And, yeah. See, I can just ramble on for a long time. But,
please, fill us in.
I love it when you put Phil on blast. It's
Inquiry
great.
Inquiry minds want to know.
Yep.
The only thing troublesome about Philip is Philip is going to get you in trouble.
Oh, fuck you,
Henry. Philip will get
you
in trouble.
Wait. Read that.
You guys are funny tonight. Wife wants to know if you have a tramp stamp.
Oh, a tramp stamp. That's a tattoo that goes right along the hips across the back. Yeah. Does Phil have a? Who's he asking, Phil?
Good buddy Henry, he knows all these things I didn't know about.
No.
Hey,
yeah,
you know.
Phil has a tramp stamp of a butterfly.
Well, Henry's with, you know, he's pretty tight, and you guys are together, and I'm not, you know, okay, you know.
Stacy, this is a good show because Phil is saying off.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Phil's being awful quiet. That means that all this week coming, we're going to be tortured.
That's okay, because you know what? We can swing it right back.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the West Coast, the Midwest, and the East Coast.
Amen.
Yep.
You know, I spoke just quickly. I want to mention while we've got a small lull. Earlier today, and I don't think anybody picked it up, Philip and I were invited to go on a bike run, and I didn't go. And I want to talk about it just very quickly. It's called the Bikers Against Trafficking. And I said, I'm not interested. There's CIA, there's the FBI. There's a lot of people against trafficking. But they said to me, no, Bill, this is about human slavery. They said that there's a bike run that went on. 27 million people around the world are enslaved. Now, I had no idea that this was this crazy. But this organization, and I want to just mention very quickly because I want to give them great kudos. The organization is called the numerical digit 4, the word the numerical digit 1, for the 1. These are two girls that are doing this, and they are devoting their lives, bikers against trafficking, free victims of sexual slavery and exploitation, books, education, medical supplies. We get a lot of different people doing things. I think this is amazing. I had no idea it was that serious. I did a little investigation. We have a lot of people from Colombia and Mexico coming into America, and they're being being rented out, sold as prostitutes. I have to admit, I had no knowledge of this here. It didn't take long for me to do some research to find out. This is really a serious thing.
Oh, yeah, human trafficking has been going on for a long time, and they're trying to figure out ways to get it to stop.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves because not only are they doing that, but they're also trafficking girls from, you know, the East Coast to the West Coast, and they wake up on a sidewalk somewhere and they have a kidney gone. They're human trafficking humans for body parts. You know, somebody needs a kidney, they grab somebody up, and, you know, there's a lot. It goes to such dark, deep areas, and there's not enough awareness about it.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, really, to be honest, only a few short years ago, I really found out what all this human trafficking was about, because it's just not talked about.
It's not just sex slavery. I mean, there's so much involved with the different forms of the trafficking, and it's worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. And then by the time they get these young people from point A to point B, they're used and abused. They're full-blown drug addicts. And basically, you know, when services are rendered, they're put out, you know, to pasture. And
they're killed. Yeah.
Well, that's what putting out to pasture means almost. But it's just it's a horrible, horrible thing. And, you know, we need to promote awareness within our young people to stay together in groups, do different things, et cetera, et cetera. But, no, it's a very, very horrible thing because some of those kids that actually make it back in one piece, they no longer have normal lives because their lives were just so messed up.
Destroyed.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they're never the same if people are able to get them back here. But it's a deep, dark pathway, that is.
Kind of a dirty little secret. Nobody wants to talk about it. That's the pressure.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
And the problem is that there's so many international ties because they're trafficking these folks, you know, out of the United States, into Mexico, into South Africa, overseas to the Belgium areas. You know, I mean, it's all over the place and a lot of red tape involved. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just in, like, let's say the United States, you know, which some of it is, they could pretty much, I believe, hop on it and, you know, get the situation semi under control. But the problem is you're looking at so much overseas. People are just shipped out. And,
well,
the majority
of the sites come through how the human trafficking starts is through overseas meddling pages or, obtaining a wife out of Russia or something like that. They pull up different types of sites, you know, to get women to get drawn to. You know what I mean? And it's a big scam. And before they even figure out what's taking place, it's already too late. Their passports are gone. They're already transported, you know, from one country to another. It's crazy.
And let's not forget, you know, the young women and men that go overseas for spring break or any different type of college vacation.
Right.
People
they get
know
drugged that, up, you know.
People drug them, take them, throw them in cars, and, you know, they're never heard of or seen again. And, I mean, it absolutely needs to be brought to everybody's attention, you know, what the hell is going on with that. Because it starts with kids as little as, you know, 5 and 6 years old and works its way up to, like, 25, 26, and 27-year-olds, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible, horrible thing.
You know, I was 14. I was around Phil would know the area. I was around the Midway area because there used to be a place over there that had you to get good sandwiches from. Popped into this little, like, I thought it was like a mom and pop type, you know, nickel dime store type thing. And it was Middle Eastern people that owned it, you know. And the guys that ran the store, do you know how, you know, you would be treated in our country? You should come with us to our country. I'm like, what? You know, crazy.
Dateline, I think it was Dateline, ran a couple of episodes that showed down on the Mexico border, the cantina,
right.
That, you know, it's a bar out front, but in the back it's a brothel, you know, and the massage shops, people, the masseuses there, that, you know, you get a massage in the front, but they've got a brothel going on in the back. And it's just a lot of undercover things and a lot of red tape and international borders. And that's my reason as to why we don't have billboards up with this stuff, you know, because to me, it's just as important as any child that gets, you know, kidnapped or any child that gets murdered or anything else. You know, you're taking another human life and you're forcing them to do something that they don't want to do. And in my eyes, that's wrong. Clear across the board.
I think you people heard me say my definition of abnormal sex is when you try to make somebody do something they don't want to do. Now,
yeah.
To me, is experimental sex. Try it. Oh, I didn't like it. Okay, try something else. But when you force anybody to do something, hey, we tried that last week. I don't want that. It hurt me. I don't like that. You're forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do. That's abnormal sex, and that's sick. There's so much wonderful ways to have sex. You don't need to be violent.
Well, are you going to elaborate on that, or are you just going to leave it at that?
Well, I might just leave it at that for the moment, because we have so many beautiful women out there that are just imagining the fact that they're, but for the grace of God, you know, that they or their friends could be put in some, you know, I don't know, Saudi Arabia, harem or something. You know, there's crazy things happen all the time, you know. And you know, it's not, and I'm going to say it very quickly here, it's not just about young girls, it's young boys.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
That sounds
absolutely
sick, but that's going on these days here.
That's just like, if you look at the statistics, okay, and I did group homework for years, worked with a lot of young kids who needed a lot of help. If you look at the statistics, there is just as many women out there molesting children as there are men. But
they call them school teachers.
Yeah, well, you know, the school teachers is just the tip of the iceberg, Phil. You know, you're talking about direct family members, but it never, you know, seems to surface. And that needs to be more made aware of, too. You know, just as many women out there as there are men doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But everybody always cycles through the man aspect. But, you know,
right.
We need people more aware that it's just as many females as there are men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I mean, there are some sick, twisted women out there that go even think about touching a kid. What is a problem? You know, it's disgusting. Anybody that's a decent mom is not ever going to think of a child in that manner or capacity. Hell no. You know, I mean, I've had older women tell me, oh, you know, 20-year-olds. It's a kid. What are you, crazy?
I always thought a woman should be
like a
mama.
I'm sorry. I look at it different. I'm sorry.
No. I always thought a woman should be like a mama bear protecting her cubs.
Exactly.
So when I hear a woman involved in something like that, I honestly don't understand. I think the whole thing is so like, you know.
I'll tell you what.
I can't understand it for a woman to be abusing children.
Some of the
I
worst.
I think it's for a man to do it, but I think it's almost double sick for a woman because, again, a woman is supposed to be maternal and loving and caring and even much more so than a man. So it's hard for me to understand a woman when I hear about these weird things going on.
Some of the worst caseloads that we had over the years involved women, not men.
Yeah.
And it blew, you know, now you're going back like 20 years ago when I first started doing this type of work. And it blew my mind because, you know, it's stereotyped that a man is a molester. And if it's a woman, we just don't bring it up or something, you know,
right.
That's the society views it. But there were more kids traumatized at the hands of their mothers. We're talking sexually, physically, and other than their fathers. And that was just mind-blowing. And it opened my eyes real, real wide, you know, that it's capable from both parties. You know, don't underestimate any man or any woman of not being capable of such actions, because if they're twisted, yeah, they very much are capable of a lot of serious actions.
Right. I mean, look at it this way. You can be a completely normal female parent, okay? And normally with newborns or something, yeah, you're going to have times of having a baby sleep with you. What do you think of a woman that would have an older child sleeping in the same bed with their mom, say roughly between like the age of 10 and 14? Are you kidding me? Who does that?
Yeah.
But I've heard of women that do, and it's like, do you understand how sick that is? That's sick.
That it is.
The kid is old enough to understand that female and male anatomy, hello, and this is
We're talking about, I just don't see our government getting involved. Like, as you say, I don't see advertisement. I don't see newspaper. I don't see billboards. It's, again, I refer to it as America's dirty little secret. We don't want to.
The only time you see something is if somebody catches somebody in the act, and then they talk about it for a minute, and then it's done.
Yeah.
And you don't hear of it again.
And the sad part about it is if you truly look up the sentencing to some of these people, some people that have done jail time, it's, for the most part, the average is 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
So it basically put a person on blast, lock them up for a little bit, and then just push them back out into society. And
yeah,
I mean,
and they go back to doing it again.
Yep, the bill that Eunice is fighting for, you know, it involves stricter laws and stuff to be able to contain these types of people. And you know,
but
people need to jump on board with that.
But the majority of that bill is looking at the church. It's not looking at other things in general. They need to modify it in certain degrees.
It opens up the gateway to many different things, you know, and it's a start. And with that start becomes a push. And as Phil says, you know, what goes to the East Coast goes to the West and back to the East again, you know. And I don't know, this subject right here that we're discussing, we could go on for hours.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to. I spoke to an attorney, one of my guys that rides, believe it or not, hardcore biker, long hair, beard, and all that. His wife, excuse me, his fiance, she's an attorney. And I was asking her, why aren't more cases being prosecuted? And she said, it's the toughest thing, Bill, to bring some of these people into court. More often than not, the court doesn't want to do it. And that if they do it, they don't want the publicity. They don't want all that. How many times those cases get just put aside and dismissed or forgotten? They don't want to prosecute these people. And that's sick.
Yeah.
Or because of the, you know, stereotypical court case where the, you know, the person who came forward and wants to do something about it is put on blast and made to look doubtful, like
yeah.
Right, sometimes, you know, and it's like stuff like that needs to stop. When there's a
victim, you ask for it, or you're, you know, openly sexually out there or something. It's
nuts. Like that, because they're not, you know, people look at all those scenarios and they're like, I'm not coming forward. I'm just going to keep this to myself, you know, and it traumatizes them for the next 30, 40 years. And it's a vicious, vicious, nasty circle.
Ladies, let me ask you, do you believe in that we should consider legalizing prostitution to where we have houses run by the state, the government, the women are inspected for health reasons, they have security, they have protection? Do you think that, because this is very prevalent in many parts of Europe and certainly in Mexico, do you think that this would help at all relieve some of the tension and problems, or do you think that this is just another different subject altogether?
I don't know.
See, it doesn't, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you sure? I don't have hang-ups.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have hang-ups with those, you know, licensed brothels or whatever. But the only thing that I foresee is if we legalized it, I have a feeling that the people running them, you know, once they get that money in hand and a taste of the finer styles in life, they may resort to doing, you know, trafficking themselves. You know, I'll give you this girl for $2,000. Take her with you when you go. And that's what I see a problem happening, because the people who run the brothels will stick together. It's kind of like a doctor. One doctor doesn't talk bad about another doctor. That's what will happen. As for having whorehouses or whatever you want to call them, you know, I'd rather see the women taken care of medically, fundamentally, money-wise, et cetera, than being in some cantina or out in the streets. But like I said, again, I feel sometimes too much money becomes too much power, and it's when you get that power persona, things start to go a little sour.
I think it'll open up a new can of worms, but I also believe that America being so puritanical, we will never have something like that nationwide and all that. But I think about that. Is that a possibility? But then again, the amount of damage collaterally, it could be getting a whole new can of worms. And this has nothing to do with the whole can of worms, but I'm starving. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Dude, what did you girls have for dinner tonight?
I had the Zorno pizza.
Pizza soup.
Do you have any more choices? What else does anybody have for dinner tonight?
But I'm going to be making a big pot of homemade chili again.
Yeah, but I had a banging lunch, though. My brother came over and made me some shrimp Mozambique over white rice. That was quite
good. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Ryan, what'd you have for dinner tonight? You out there still?
Yeah, yep, cordon bleu.
Yeah, chicken cordon bleu.
Christian, oh, kind of, what? Okay, now I'm going to leave you and Philip now, boys and girls, because now my stomach.
You need to eat. Yeah.
I'm just going to leave you all alone with Philip. I'm going to be taken off and. Just going to leave
okay.
You.
And we'll take your spot and, you know, sing them up a little bit for you.
Boys and girls, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night, Bill.
Why you bother, Reno? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just can't.
Who was that? Who was that? Which call? What phone number was that from?
Why you bother, Reno? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the...
Who's doing that? I want to know. For God's sake,
not
we're not...
Me. got to be Phil.
Yeah.
It's got to be Phil. Everybody blame Phil for everything. That's my theory.
Why you bother, Reno? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just...
Yeah, he's crazy, all right.
Why you bother, Reno? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day. You don't...
I got to go home. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Bill.
All right, we'll see you, Bill.
All right.
Good night, Phil.
I like the idea about getting Ryan out here to California. That's
yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. All right, you guys. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay.
All right,
Ryan,
send me another chick.
Okay, I'll dig some up.
See if you got one that wants to pose naked.
That's hard to come by, but I can always ask.
Okay.
Well, a lot of times that only goes to the husband.
She got 2,342 hits.
Nice. That'll make her happy.
Yeah. I don't know if they're hitting up on her link, but Bill's got people coming into the shop asking about her, so.
Okay. She's gorgeous, and she's awesome to work with, so. Yeah, I'll see if I can't get her together tomorrow and maybe do another shoot for you guys.
Okay.
So,
all right, talk to you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
Well, all right, good night.
Good
night. And Stacy, this is just for you.
Awesome.
Oh,
why
God.
You bother, Reno? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day.
You're crazy.
No, I stand by the window with an AK just because people ask me if I dye my fucking hair.
Oh, I'm a pink tank top, have a tramp stamp, I'm a skinny jeans with a heated thong under his chest.
It's okay, Phil. Go get yourself a chocolate pudding and sit down. You know, chocolate fixes everything. You can think about a new hair color.
Yep. Oh, blow me.
Oh, you're bad.
Bite us.
Bad. You're bad.
You know, he just wishes he could be us. He can't.
I don't know about that.
All right, well, this one's for you too.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. Celebrate, got chicken on the